Highbridge Company presents Nobody's Perfect by Donald Westlake, read by Jeff Woodman.
The Verse. Dortmunder slumped on the hard wooden chair, watching his attorney try to open a black attaché case. Two little catches were supposed to release when two bright buttons were pushed, but neither of them worked. In other cubicles all around this one, defendants and their court-appointed attorneys murmured together, structuring threadbare alibis, useless mitigations, attenuated extenuations, mathematically questionable plea bargains, chimerical denials and hopeless appeals to the mercy of the court. But in this cubicle, with its institutional green walls, its black linoleum floor, the great hanging globe of light, the frosted glass window in its door, its battered wooden table and two battered wooden chairs and one battered metal wastebasket, nothing was happening at all, except that the attorney assigned to Dortmunder by an uncaring court and a malevolent fate couldn't get his goddamn attaché case open.
"Just a," he muttered. "It's always a, I don't know why it, I'll, it's just a."
Dortmunder shouldn't have been here at all, of course, waiting for his preliminary hearing on several hundred counts of burglary and knowing he was merely the victim of another accident of fate. 2 weeks, 2 solid weeks he'd cased that TV repair shop. He'd even brought in a perfectly good Sony table model and let them charge him for 6 new tubes and 9 hours' labor. And not once had any police patrol gone down the alley behind the row of stores. A prowl car cruised past the front from time to time, but that was all. And the cops were definitely never there when the pornographic movie house around the corner let out. At those moments, they were always parked across the street from the theater, glaring through their windshield as the patrons came slinking past, as though their moral disapproval would somehow make up for their legal ineffectuality. "If we could arrest you," they telepathic at the pussyfooting porn devotees, "and if we could turn you over to the proper authorities for castration and rehabilitation, by the Blessed Virgin, we'd do it." And the customers knew it, too. Off they'd go, scurrying, hands deep in pockets, shoulders hunched against society's disapproval, while the theater marquee flashed its enticements at their backs. "Sex sorority, sex sorority, sex sorority, sex sorority." Dortmunder, well aware of his own history of bad luck, had done his best to cover every possibility. A quick check of the timesheet, scotch-taped to the movie cashier's window, had told him sex sorority's schedule for the evening. 7, 8:45, 10:30. Meaning the last show would finish at 12:15. Therefore, at 10:30 exactly on this crisp, clear November night, Dortmunder had nosed his station wagon into the alley, had driven slowly past the repair shop's rear door, and had parked 2 or 3 shops farther on. Using 2 keys, a crowbar, and the heel of his left foot, he'd effected entry into the shop, and during the next hour and a half, he'd assembled most of the TVs and radios and other appliances over by the rear door, his work illuminated by a combination of the streetlight outside and an anti-crime nightlight over the empty cash register. At 12:15 by his watch, by the clock over the rear room work table, and by 9 digital clock radios he'd rejected as too penny ante for the effort, he had opened the rear door, picked up 2 television sets, a Philco and an RCA, and stepped outside to the sudden dead-white glare of 4 headlights. Leave it to cops to keep their high beams on in the city. Tonight, one of the cops all of a sudden had to take a leak. In fact, Dortmunder, handcuffed and advised of his rights and disencumbered of the TV sets, had had to wait in the back seat of the prowl car while the goddamn cop went over to some garbage cans and proceeded to relieve himself. Relieve himself. "I could also use some relief," Dortmunder had muttered, but no one had heard him. And now, this excuse for an attorney. He was young, possibly 14, with scruffy black hair, round cheeks, and pudgy fingers that poked and poked at the buttons on his attaché case. His tie was loud and lumpily knotted. His checked jacket clashed with his plaid shirt, and his belt buckle sported a bucking bronco. Dortmunder watched him for some little time in silence, and then
Sample complete. Ready to continue?